Okay, we are back on the record. Mr. Olson, do you have anything further on your case?
No.
Okay.
Nothing further for my case, no.
Okay. Mr. Kuntz?
We have no rebuttal.
Okay. Before closing statements, are there any other issues?
Your Honor, if I may, on behalf of advisory staff, I would like to call Mr. Lowstreet back to the stand just for a couple questions about MDU Exhibit 1.
Okay. Mr. Lowstreet, you're still under oath, and Mr. Norell, you can go ahead.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Lowstreet, for sticking around all day just for one last round of questions.
Not a problem.
I was wondering, do you have in front of you MDU Exhibit 1?
Okay.
And there's been a lot of questions about economic future development in the area, load development in the area. just south of the red 46 kV line there, and this would be the one-mile radius circle kind of intersects. There are four blocks along up there. Do you know, are those parcels platted out for future development?
I do not know.
Do you know what those would be at all?
Again, this information came from our GIS, so I'm assuming, you know, there was some definition of property there, but I have no idea if it was a plat or what it might be.
How about along the west side of the city limits of Minokin? There's a light gray line forming a square along the west side. Do you know if that's any future development?
Not that I'm aware of.
And again, just for the record, are you aware of any discussion regarding any development in that McKenzie area along Highway 10? Any anything in the media or anything along those lines?
No, I'm not.
Okay. No further questions, Your Honor.
Okay. Mr. Kuntz, anything?
No.
Nothing.
Mr. Olson? Commissioners, any questions for the witness?
No.
Okay, you can step down. Thank you. Any other matters that we need to address before closing statements? Mr. Kuntz, anything?
No, Your Honor.
Mr. Olson? Mr. Norell?
No, Your Honor.
Okay, commissioners. Okay, Mr. Kuntz, go ahead.
Thank you, Your Honor. I'm going to be very brief. I know it's been a long day for everyone. I think the commission has heard the evidence. Understandably, this is a important load for both utilities would like to provide it. It's a beneficial load, but most importantly, it's an important issue for the customer. And I think you heard that. And as was testified earlier, you know, typically in these cases, customer preference when the customer wants the utility isn't the main consideration. When the customer wants the co-op, it's the only consideration. But in this particular case, I think there's some additional thought that needs to be given here to the customer's desire for service, what they're looking for in a service provider. If you listen to Mr. Manor today, everything that they were looking for a service provider, Montana Dakota offers, you know, reasonable rates, demand-type rates that they can take advantage of, regulated utility that they've got someone to complain to if they don't like the way rates are setting, or some assurance that those rates are being set by an independent body or being reviewed by an independent body, a body that they can go to complain if they have service issues. So if you listen to Mr. Manor, right down the line, Montana Dakota was able to meet their needs. It's almost unheard of in one of these TIA cases where you see a customer make the effort to actually show up at a hearing. Usually it's simply a statement, but notice an appearance by the customer saying, this is who we prefer. And that's it. Menards made an effort coming here all the way here from Wisconsin this morning to appear before this commission and explain to you why customer preference is important to them. $60,000 even for a year, even for a company like Menards, is not insignificant. And that certainly is something that affects the public interest, and also in terms of who's able to provide the service most economically. Yes, you've heard that Cap Electric can extend their three-phase line at a lesser cost than what Montana Dakota can upgrade its system in McKinsey. But part of being an electrical provider is having to upgrade your system periodically as new growth occurs. If you look at the commission's criteria, you're talking about extending an existing system to serve this particular load. Who's having to extend their system from what's there now? And, you know, we've got an existing three-phase system within 1,800 feet. That's what we're having to do. That's the extension piece of it. And then we're talking about upgrades to the rest of the system. And those upgrades are not only for the benefit of Menards. Those offer benefits to the community itself. And admittedly, there's not been much growth that's happened in McKinsey, but at the same token, I don't think there's any question when you starting at a facility of this size with 250 type employees, there's going to be some additional growth in McKinsey. If even 10% of 5% of those employees decide to locate in or around the city of McKinsey, there's going to be some additional growth. Probably going to need a gas station, those types of things that are probably going to dictate that these upgrades are going to be necessary at one point or another. I really don't think Montana Dakota should be penalized for the fact that it hasn't upgraded this system sooner, because that's really what's being implied here, that because you didn't gold plate your system sooner, add capacity to your substation sooner, and we've got extra capacity that's twice what we need, then you shouldn't be able to serve this load. I think that's highly prejudicial. I don't think the commission would think very fondly of us if we were including things in our rate base for upgrades before they were needed. I think the way we propose to meet these upgrades by using existing transformers, adding a neutral to our existing system, are all indications that we've been pretty good stewards of how we make our investment and how we serve our customers. One outage on this particular line in the last 13-plus years, I think that speaks pretty strongly with respect to reliability. Number of customers. We've got over almost three times this number of customers within the two-mile area. Most of those within 1 mile, Capital's got four. You can go down the list, and virtually every one of your 10 criteria, if you check it off, who gets it, Montana Dakota will have the advantage on just about every one of those criteria. So if those criteria mean anything at all, then Montana Dakota should be allowed to serve this particular customer. The public benefit is here in terms of the contribution it makes to its other customers. The contribution is here in terms of the upgrades it allows Montana Dakota to make to the community of McKinsey, the potential for Dixter growth. The public benefit to Capital Electric, you're here to testify, the only benefit of their extension is to the Menard site, period. That's it. It won't serve any other customers. And the only benefit, arguably, is the fact that there'll be additional money to contribute to their customers. Well, part of that's coming out of the skin of Menards at $60,000. I'm not quite sure that's a public benefit, that those additional dollars are being paid to Capital Electric rather than Menards being able to invest it in their particular facility and being competitive in their product offerings and being competitive in terms of meeting the competitiveness of this facility in relation to other facilities around the company. We want economic development. We want our companies to be as competitive as they possibly can. Well, this is where it starts. $60,000, probably not a huge number in the total cost of operating this, but it's obviously not insignificant or Menards wouldn't have been here today. So, commissioners, I know this is a difficult call for you. Commissioners never like these TIA cases, but unfortunately it's one of these one-off type situations that I'm afraid that not even service area agreements are probably in place to address it. So it's in your lap, and I appreciate the time you spent here, but I really believe if you take a look at the evidence and go through those list of criteria, in the end of the day, Montana Dakota should receive the certificate. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Kuntz. Mr. Olson?
Yes, thank you for your time today. It was my first time here, and I'm glad to be here. working with very intelligent people. There's been a lot of talking about customer preference. A lot of the closing that we just heard dealt with Mr. Manor's testimony. And I know one of the commissioners, maybe even all three of you, throughout the day talked about if the reverse happened, so if Menards just contacted Capital to serve, that we wouldn't be here today. And that's from what I understand, that is true. But that's not based in any factors. That's purely a mechanism of the law, the Territorial Integrity Act, and the protections that have been afforded under that act to rural co-ops who have spent money spreading infrastructure throughout rural North Dakota to serve people so that they can have electricity. And so I don't know if that is a factor. It's not a factor in today's case. Today the factor is that the alternate did happen, and because of that we are looking at these 10 factors that we've all talked about today. It is true that both MDU and Capital has to make some upgrades. It is true that MDU has existing three-phase up to about 1,800 feet to the site. The problem that we've heard today, that the testimony is that three-phase as is useless to serve the site unless the other pieces of the puzzle are connected. A neutral wire needs to be added. The conversion needs to take place. So they're actually upgrading and adding facilities of 6,900 feet based on the testimony from the substation. And they're also upgrading their substation for total cost of everything of roughly $126,000. We've heard today testimony that Capital has to extend two phases along a single phase for roughly a mile, so a little over 5,000 feet. And I don't think we are here today failing MDU faulting them for not upgrading that substation earlier. But we are here to look at the factors. And I think if you look at the factors today, customer preference after today's testimony is clear that they want MDU to serve. And basically, I think it comes down to rates. The other thing that I suppose leans in MDU's favor is that they serve 29, I believe the testimony was 29 customers in this area versus 11. That Capital serves. But I think the other eight, I think it's fairly clear that the scales tip in the favor of Capital Electric. There's been testimony that's talked about wasteful duplication because the load is already able to be served from that substation. The orderly development, we heard about the checkerboarding effect, and it is true that a good checkerboard, I suppose, would happen when it's mutually agreeable. But usually when we're dealing with rural areas, and here it's clear here that it's the load, and that's why we're here today. But a checkerboard effect, I think, in the rural areas is not a good thing, which usually can involve interference or wasteful duplication, or can result in unorderly development. And here, we think that 8 of the 10 factors are fairly clear that they weigh in favor of Capital Electric. So we would ask that you deny their application. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Olson. Mr. Norrell, do you have any closing comments?
No, Your Honor.
Commissioner Forocheck?
Right. Thank you. I'm glad we're winding down because my cough is getting worse. And I don't know if you guys are sick of it, but I am. My cough, that is. thank you for being here and for all your thorough information. But most of all, thanks for your professionalism today. And just everyone, this is a passionate issue for both parties. I realize that, but I appreciate the politeness and the professionalism that everybody has used today in this proceedings, because we're a small community and we all have to get along. And we all have to work together with this decision and moving forward. So you've each noted how you think you finish in the scale on the 10 factors. For me, I'll be going through them in a spreadsheet. I hope that my colleagues will join me and working through them one by one and going through all of the factors and really having a scorecard and determining in a more finessed way how you each rate and where they fall in the end. And I think that's the only way you can do it and just see how the chart plays out. And ultimately, a couple of the factors will probably have to weigh heavier than others, but I think it'll just be a real methodical working through the issues and coming up with a determination. There'll be a winner and there'll be a loser, and that's the unfortunate thing in this case. I would sure prefer a situation like Commissioner Christman outlined earlier, where you'd sit down and work it out yourselves, because ultimately you know the investments much better than we do. You know the long-term potential that your company has in these areas, what the growth might be expected to be, and really what this means to your companies, and can weigh that with other factors in your companies. We're blind to a lot of that, and so we're left with 10 factors in a chart. I think it's far preferable to work these things out. It's better for your customers, for sure. But with that said, we'll do our very best with what we have and come up with the best decision we can. So thank you.
Commissioner Kalk.
Thank you, Your Honor. Thank you, everyone, again, for being here today. And the kind of finish up where I started, that at the end of the day, everybody needs to work together and meet the load. And it's growing in North Dakota, and that's why we're having this discussion, because North Dakota is going the right direction. It's not like back in the 70s and 80s, especially the 80s, when we're losing load. There is a discussion that I think needs to take place between the investor-owned and the co-ops about rate shopping. And I don't know the best format to do that, because we had a case in front of the commission not too long ago where it was clearly a north-central served area, and Otter Tail went in there and started serving because the casino wanted Otter Tail to provide the services because it was cheaper than what north-central provided. Now, the commission in that case, 3-0 vote, we ruled it was tribal ground, so we had no jurisdiction in there. But we made it, I hope, clear to Otter Tail that they thought that was a good practice. And so this is an area where I think that it's different. But the same backdrop of, I think, what really drives it is the case of the difference in rates. And the difference in rates is there because the co-ops grew up a different way. They were created for a different reason. And investor owns have a different matrix. So the rates are always going to be a little bit different. And so as we go through, I'm very concerned about the rate shopping that could take place in North Dakota. And it could be on tribal lands, too, where we have no jurisdiction as a commission, but all of a sudden we find MDU wanting to serve in areas, or even Excel potentially, maybe not as much, that really kind of falls apart the whole idea of working together, developing the reliable system. So the reason I asked for the break, I talked to our council and experts and said, we got a record that supports no matter what we do. And I mean that with all seriousness, because a lot of times you read through these cases, you kind of have an inkling what you might want to go to when you ask the questions and all that. But this one, I think, is it's very important that we have a very strong record that supports the decision that we make. And that's where the 10 factors that we keep talking about, those aren't in the law. Those 10 factors are in a case that was decided and walked the gamut. But it's a guideline, in my opinion. If this case says something different, then we put those two cases at odds, and that could end up somewhere else too. But so it's kind of a little bit too much opining here. But I think it's really important that we continue to develop the reliable grid, that we continue to fight the CO2 rules that are hurting all of our generations and driving up all the costs. And I'll tell you that I think that this is going to be a very good discussion to have in this case backdrop, because hopefully we continue to have more growth throughout North Dakota in our rural areas, because at the end of the day, this town maybe has a future where it didn't have a future 5, 10, 15 years ago. So on that, the last thought is, Your Honor, are we going to have each side submit draft orders? We hadn't talked about that. Did you guys talk about that?
Typically, Commissioner, we do that after we go off the record.
I just want to make sure that that'd be something that would be helpful for both sides to make their best case, why they think they're right. And then we'll apply the factors, as Commissioner Fedorchak talked about. But we, speaking for myself, we may consider some that have evolved since then. So thank you all for your work today.
Commissioner Christman.
Well, Your Honor, now I've sat through the type of case that I used to work so hard in the legislature to try and make sure that the public service commissioners didn't have to sit through. But we had a term for these things in the Senate. These types of bills were important, and they needed a resolution, but you knew for sure going in that the resolution was neither clear nor popular, and we called them wet bundles. And now the wet bundle is here, I guess. So anyway, I appreciate both sides doing this today, providing a lot of good information, doing it in an interesting way. I have not been bored for a second today, learned a lot, and so I think both sides really did a nice job. I disagree with the statement that was made earlier that about, at least as I understood it, that a service area agreement isn't a reasonable possibility in this case. I think there's still hope for that. I hope there's still hope for that. But the last thing that I want to say is, and again, I'm going to reflect back a few years, I am so thankful, even with a wet bundle in front of us, that we have these kinds of opportunities in North Dakota. It's only 15 years ago when the companies would have been squabbling over a farm well, probably. Now we're talking about enormous loads that are going to be provided to create 240 or 250 jobs. What a blessing it is in this state that we have this kind of opportunity to work on and try and handle in the best possible way. So thanks again, everybody, for really providing us some good information today.
Thank you. Anything else that needs to be brought to the attention of the commission before we go off the record?
No, Your Honor.
Okay, we'll close the hearing. Thank you.